Hello and welcome to Core Women. My name is Dr. Summer Watson, and I'm the founder of Core Women, and I'm also an empowerment strategist for women. So if you're listening to this podcast to delve more into empowerment strategies, well, you're here for the right reason. However, Core Women was also developed because it's a special place that provides a unique idea of home for the hearts and souls of women. It's a place for us to share our strength, energy, wisdom, and authenticity. It's a place for women to find support and strategic empowerment ideas that will help support their lives.
Hey folks, thank you so much for joining me, Dr. Summer Watson of Core Women, for the Kristen Van Nest interview today. It takes place in a cafe in Koreatown in Los Angeles. There is a bit of noise, but please enjoy the podcast.
Today on the show, I'd like to welcome Kristen Van Nest, who is a comedian, actor, writer, director, also was a Fulbright scholar, and she is currently on the Amazon series, The Chunky Zeta. Let's get right into talking about your journey, Kristen, and welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Excited. Well, let's start off talking about where your journey started in relation to your draw to being a comedian and actress.
So I was living in Shanghai, and I worked in the wine industry as a brand manager, so I traveled all over China selling wine, and someone was like, you connect with people through humor, and I was like, I do. It never really come, like, I never thought about it, so I started doing improv, and a bunch of my friends from high school actually do improv,
oh,
so
okay.
I knew a bunch of people who were very involved in UCB in New York, Upright Citizens Brigade, and there was a improv school in China.
Okay.
And then, luckily, Charna Halpern, who's one of the founders of modern day improv, she started the IO school in Chicago.
Okay.
She was exploring doing classes in Asia, and so she flew over to teach a workshop. So
nice.
She's like one of the top people in improv, and by chance, right when I was starting, was in Shanghai.
Right.
So
wow.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So I
right
never,
place at the right time.
Yeah. So I just kind of pretended that I knew what I was doing. I hadn't even finished 101 at the local school.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's Shanghai, so it doesn't matter. So I just pretended I knew what I was doing and performed on stage, and people flew in all over Asia from all over Asia to train under her.
Okay.
So I was like with all these very experienced improvisers, so I was like, I'll just pretend. And then I was hooked. So
awesome. Okay.
Then, yeah.
Wow, okay. And so I know you were a Fulbright scholar as well, right?
Yeah.
So please explain a bit about that journey, where your travels took you, and how this played a part in your discovery of wanting to pursue a career on the stage, on film.
I didn't know that I was going to do comedy then, mm-hmm. but what I found interesting about the Fulbright is that we had a lot of free time,
okay.
because you're living abroad, the government
right.
is, you know, covering very minimal, but they're covering
right.
your costs for you to explore the country, and I was doing research on nation branding, that was my project. So I had a lot of free time, and so every morning I would wake up and be like, what do I want to do today?
Okay.
And so for me, it made me really think about in my life. I mean, it's such a luxury to not have to do anything every day.
Right? Isn't that nice?
Mean, we go to work, right? We have all these responsibilities.
Right.
So having a chance to just have an open day, it's like I can watch TV in my pajamas all day. I can do research on this. I can go for a run. So
yeah.
It kind of made me think about, well, every day, what do I actually want?
Right.
And so I feel like that's kind of taken me on my journey.
Excellent.
And at that time, I wanted to work in international business, which I did before comedy.
Right.
And so that kind of kicked off. It kicked off the thinking and the organizing and structuring my life around what value do I add, and asking myself that question every morning.
Right. Well, that's great, because it really is, as you said, more of a luxury to be able to get up and say, what is it that I want to do today? Not that I have to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice, because it really allows that kind of thinking, that introspection about, okay, where do I really want to be? What have I done that I really love? Or what do I need to discover?
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
So, well, that's kind of interesting. That's very interesting. So something I absolutely appreciate and also really aligns with Core Women is your establishment of
binders full of screenwriters.
Yes.
So please tell me a bit more about this Facebook group, which is over 1,000 women screenwriters on Facebook who help each other hustle in a male-dominated industry, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So tell me more about that, how that all came to be and such.
Binders is a bigger Facebook group, or it's... there are groups called binders, and they're all different writing or types of writing, and they're all women's groups, and they started with when Mitt Romney said binders full of women. So that was the original Facebook group.
Gotcha.
And then all of these subgroups came out. So there were binders full of comedy writers, binders full of editors. So they're all groups of women who work in these fields. And there wasn't a screenwriter one. And screenwriting, I mean, I think there was a study by the WGA about how like 64% of screenwriter women said they've been harassed at work, and
right.
And I mean, me too, right?
Right, like, right.
It's a really tough industry
right.
for women, as the whole industry.
Right.
So I wanted to create something where we could all talk about what we were dealing with and kind of our careers and help each other.
Right.
So I started it right before I moved to LA, so a little bit over a year ago.
Okay.
And I've been growing it through just kind of like grassroots marketing, people I meet, other Facebook groups.
Great.
If I go to, I always try and find great people to be in it.
Right.
It's extremely active. So if I like see someone speak at a conference who's an amazing, successful screenwriter, I'll be like, hey,
right.
I have this group. Would you join?
Right. Yeah.
And we occasionally do meetups in person, which is always fun. And now I've actually developed a lot of good friends through that.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But it's so fun because it's like, I feel like having a career in entertainment, it's like playing Battleship.
Okay.
Where there are these hidden opportunities, but you can't see where they are.
Right.
So you're
right.
kind of like guess. You're kind of like throwing darts. Or
right.
trying to hit the battleship.
Okay.
But you don't know which one of the things that you're doing is actually going to be effective.
Right.
And so I feel like having a group of women that you can talk to about that really helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Networking, you know, with other people who have similar interests, so much comes from that, you
yeah.
know, and when they start telling their stories, which we all do,
yeah.
right, we get a little bit, you know, more real,
yeah.
we get a little bit more authentic, and we start, you know, really connecting
yeah.
on a level that's very organic,
yeah.
you know, so then it becomes more than just a screenwriting Facebook page, you know,
yeah.
it becomes so much more and so much deeper,
yeah.
you
yeah,
know.
Writer's block, there's when do I get an agent, how do I pitch this,
right,
hey, can someone read this for me, I have a big meeting come up, I'll trade and read one of your pilot scripts,
right,
so there's all these opportunities that come through that,
absolutely,
yeah, so it's been
right.
really great, and I feel honored to have started it, but I feel thankful for everyone in it, because
right.
everyone, you know, it wouldn't be an effective group if it weren't for everyone
True.
Pitching in to help each other,
absolutely,
so
absolutely,
yeah.
we have something similar, called Set Condition Red for our veterans.
Oh,
and we've got over 6,060, over 6,500 people on that.
Wow.
And it's for families, veterans, and so when they, and first responders. And so when they get together, what happens is they start talking. And so rather than somebody falling out or somebody having a bad day and not knowing where to go, there's so many people who are gonna
yeah.
you know, connect with that person.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
So that's, you know, networking is phenomenal. It's fantastic and it can lead to so many healthy things.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So can you give the listeners a little insight about your history with wine and how this has helped support your hashtag poor decision show?
Yeah. Yeah, so in China, I worked in, when I moved to China, I'd never been there, didn't have a place to live, knew three people, didn't
oh,
have
wow.
a job, just kind of, I wanted to live in a city that was similar to New York, but in Asia,
right.
and I talked to a bunch of people, and Shanghai was that city.
Okay.
So I moved over, and luckily within about a month met the director of the wine importer I worked for, and they're now the largest wine importer in China.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're owned by Woolworths, which is like the Walmart of Australia.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Woolworths.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I mainly sold Australian and New Zealand wine.
Okay.
I had two U.S. wineries, Inglenook, which is Francis Ford Coppola's winery, and Ridge, which is like one of the top, I mean.
Yeah.
But historically put the U.S. on the map.
Gotcha.
To some degree. So through that, I had trainings every week. I traveled all over China hosting wine dinners, educating Chinese customers and other business people on wine. So I love wine, and coming back to the States, I wanted to do something with it.
Right.
So I made my Poor Decisions show with my friend Gabby, who's on my Upright Citizens Engaged team with me.
Right.
And she's a chef, so she's okay. Also trained.
That's a trained palate. That's a nice pairing.
Yes, exactly. That's great.
Right. Yeah. I know. Sorry about the silliness.
I love myself. So we started it, and I wanted to make something that was focused on grocery market wines.
Okay.
Because that's what most people drink.
Right.
Like, you come home from work and you drink a $7 bottle of wine. You don't drink a $50 bottle of wine on a Wednesday.
Yeah, right. Wednesday.
You know, like,
what about a Friday?
Yeah. Well, if
maybe
lucky.
A Saturday.
Oh, yeah. That's the dream.
Right.
So we made that, and so it's every Friday.
Okay, and it's a bit of a comedy, right?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah. I mean, we get drunker and drunker as we do it. So it becomes more and more just a hot mess, basically.
It's poor decisions.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my goodness, that's so funny. So I love it. I love it. I just had to ask because I thought, as I was going through some of your information and looking at your sites, I was like, this is hilarious.
Oh, well, I'm that annoying person who's like, just like hanging with friends. And
right.
Needs to like taste the wine, smell, you know, everything.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we get it. But I have to. I love it. It's
you're like your nose is way down in there in the glass, and you're like, and they're looking at you like, okay, come on, pal.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's hilarious. So tell us a little bit more about your role on the Chunky Zeta show.
Yeah, I love the Chunky Zeta. It is a really funny show.
And it's on what?
It's on Amazon,
right?
Yeah.
And it's a series. Okay.
Yes.
And so how long has it been going?
It's in its second season.
Okay.
And I'm in the second season.
Right.
It's like a very dark comedy about these sorority girls where they're like, being a sorority girl is the most important thing in their life. And then the main character is the founder. He's also a writer on the show, and he plays Brenda,
the girl, the woman, right? Yeah.
So Bradley's, for those of you who don't know, a larger man, and he's the Chunky Zeta. So
right.
He plays Brenda. And in the reality of the show, he's the hottest girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's the hottest girl on campus.
Interesting,
What
a concept.
So it's really fun.
That's a great concept.
It's very not politically correct, but they do. It's very smart how they do it.
Okay.
So it very, like, pushes, I mean, the main character is a man dressed as a woman. It pushes
boundaries,
and that's what, but the writing is really, really good.
Okay. Well, that sounds wonderful.
So I love it. I love being one of the girls on the show, and it's been a great opportunity. I love everyone on the show. I've learned so much from the other actors and from Bradley, because I want to be writer, actor, director,
right.
And that's what he does.
Right.
So it's been really cool kind of watching him in action.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So tell me, how did you get to the place where you got that role? Like, what, how did you do your, the casting call, and then you got the part, then, you know.
Yeah, I'm on my UCB improv team.
Right.
Kristen Lucas, who's the main writer for the
okay.
show.
Okay.
So I knew her, and
okay.
then through her I was able to audition.
Oh, great.
And then got on the role.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay, just because.
So networking, women helping women.
There you
very
go.
Very important.
And that's what I mean. You know, and I really wanted to bring that about and, you know, kind of talk about that because it really is, networking is so important. It's important every day to network, you know, because you never know what's going to come out of it.
Yeah.
And what kind of, first of all, what kind of friends you're going to make, and then what other opportunities, you know, might be passed on to you.
Kristen's one, she's also Kristen, we're both Kristen.
Right,
I'm not
okay.
talking about myself in the third person, just to clarify.
Kristen. That's hilarious.
Kristen Lucas is one of my best friends here, and she runs the improv team I'm on, and she's been doing it for 6 years. Started it in New York, so we brought it over here.
Okay.
It's the whole team's an amazing group of women, and we're all extremely motivated, so we all help each other out on our projects.
Fantastic.
So in the project I directed, all of the women actors are on the team.
Oh, fantastic.
And whenever we each have projects we want to work on, and we all help each other.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They have a podcast called Super Squirrel Conversations.
Okay.
Which is a mix of Oprah's Super Soul
okay.
conversations and Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, okay.
So we all play weird forest characters because we're called the Pin-Up Squirrels, the name of the
right.
team. So we're all weird forest characters that are talking about like our motivations as Oprah talks about inspiration.
Interesting. So it's like the whole kind of watership down of.
Yeah. yeah. I was Martha Stew Hoo-Ert, the owl. And so we did like the, a lot of my episodes is, you know, Oprah and Martha don't always get along.
Right.
And so it's like us kind of fighting, but.
That's hilarious.
But as like woodland creatures.
Woodland creatures.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'm going to still have to do this interview. It's just, I'm practically crying over here.
Okay.
Sorry. Okay, that's great. Thank you for that. So, there's so much more that I would love to ask you, but I'm going to end with this question. If you were to leave the listeners with some words of wisdom, what would they be?
I feel like it goes back to asking yourself that question every morning. What value do I want to bring, and what is kind of my purpose? Because I feel like if you understand what your purpose is, you will always strive for it, not always be happy,
right.
but reach happiness at moments because you feel fulfilled.
Right.
And it's very scary following that principle as something that you live your life by, and it's how most people do not live their lives. But you can find purpose in any job, in anything that you do, and it's really how does this align with my core values, and how am I helping or changing the world?
Right.
I feel like those are really strong questions that if you don't really understand that, you don't really have direction, and it's hard to be happy and fulfilled.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those are some great words of wisdom. You know, many people don't live their lives that way because I think we think that we, you know, when the alarm goes off at 6 o'clock, you know, press the alarm, you get up, you go to your job, you come home, you take care of the kids, you do this, you do that, and then all of a sudden life gets, you know, so busy. So sometimes we do have to take the opportunity to just stand back and kind of take it in life, so to speak, and really think about what is my journey? What is the journey that I want to create for myself?
And it's scary
and to help
do
others.
That.
It absolutely is.
And there's a lot of people, they're well-intentioned, but they discourage you from doing that because
they're scared
to do it themselves. So you have a
absolutely.
Lot of, you have to identify when people give you advice. I like, when I moved to China, people were like, oh, you don't speak Chinese, you've never been there, you're never going to get a job. And it's like, oh, cool, you've never left your home state. So that's totally fine, but you're not the person to give me advice on this.
Right.
Because you don't have experience in it.
Right.
So you kind of have to, like, think about when people give you advice, is it coming, you know, is there another, not on purpose, but there's
right.
other influences that
absolutely.
Happen when people.
Absolutely. Because their life and their life experiences kind of get in the way or hold them back.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times we just have to realize that if you want to do something, and you want to create your own journey, sometimes that's risk.
Yeah.
And you have to go forward and take those risks. And I don't believe that there is failure as long as you get back up. Even if you have to ask for help while you're going through something that you may not have been as successful at, that's okay, because those are the things we really learn from.
Those are the
things that make us resilient.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So, but thank you so much for those words of wisdom. I really appreciate you spending the time with Core Women today. If you would like to learn more about Kristen Van Ness, follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
If you need a strategic empowerment coach, contact me. If you want to tell your story of empowerment or how you have reconstructed your life to drive change, send me a video or an email of your story, providing permission to use it on my social media platforms. If you want to be featured on my podcast, reach out to me at info@corewomen.com. I want to hear from you and to get to know you. You are now part of the Core Women home. Let's get to know each other. Let's learn from one another. Please follow Core Women on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please let your women friends know about this podcast. If you write about Core Women in your social media posts, please hashtag Core Women. This is all about women. Thank you for taking the time to learn more about Core Women, and please stay tuned for continued growth, of the Core Women movement. Let's grow and drive change together.